You're listening to Clouser on Business. Thanks for coming back. I'm Clouser, your host. Thanks for being with us today. Today we'll be talking about helping business owners stay on course. I'm happy to have Bruce Varney back with Varney Consulting. Bruce, as you may recall, is a successful business expert with a lot of management experience. He's a forward-thinking type of guy, and Bruce uses his visionary skills to help business owners across various industries. He's a straightforward, no-nonsense type of guy that keeps his clients grounded with their hands on their business. His experiences touch a broad range of areas: marketing and public relations, merchandising, sales and product development, and leadership coaching. Hey, welcome back, Bruce.
Thank you, Clouser. It's a pleasure to be back.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, last time you were on, I touched based on some things you've done, but what type of education or what caused you to get into going into that food service area originally?
I once did a series of lectures for a large food company here. And I was talking to their executives and their retailers about retention. And one of the first things I said was, asked them was, how did you get in this business? And most of them said, I got in this business for a job when I was in school, and I never left. And I said, I got in this business while I was in college because I needed a job, and I never left. That's how I got in this business. And most of my education was not formal. There are some formal aspects, but it's mostly working my way through an industry, a couple of industries.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then for several years, I owned my own business. And that was, I call that my MBA, the hard way. So that's my background.
Yeah. What type of advice would you have for someone coming out of business school, for instance, in today's world? What, you know, how would you direct them?
It's a tough one. I would probably tell them to find a firm with a real high standard of operating. And if they asked me some, I'd make some recommendations to them, and some of them would surprise them. But I've observed a lot of businesses, especially in the Western United States, that offer great opportunities for people coming out of school.
Yeah.
But they're not the glamour business. Some people want to go into finance, they want to go into banking and so forth. These are more down-to-earth goods and services businesses that are hugely successful.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good advice. Yeah. So our topic today is helping businesses stay on course. So you get yourself into a client situation. What do you go after? I mean, how do you start helping them?
I actually start with their vision and their mission. I want to know their vision of how they want to, where they want to be, what they do, and I want them to clearly state to me their mission. Those are the two things I look for first. And then the next thing I ask them, I said, what are the values you place on your business and operating your business? Is it making as much money as you can? You need to state that. If it's making the world a better place, you need to state that, if that's part of your ethos. I said, I have an entire list of values in my business, and those are the values I operate by. That way, when I approach a client or a customer, they know what I stand for.
Yeah, can you share a couple?
Sure. Yeah. I will always be honest with you. I will always be forthright with you. I won't beat around the bush. I will give you value for your money, and always give you a straight answer. That's what I'll do. And I'll tell you what I think. You may not agree, but I'll always tell you what I think.
Yeah, so that matches up with the no-nonsense part.
And most of the people I know or that come to me, it's because they have an issue or a problem. And they don't have time to beat around the bush. They pay me. It costs them a lot of money to beat around the bush when you pay someone to tell you something. So the best thing you can do is just be frank with them.
Yeah. So can you help me write a business plan?
Yes, I'd like to help you write a business plan. Tell me you have one, Clouser.
I
don't want to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
I've got a template for one.
Good.
But I have written them in my career.
Okay. But yeah, I asked them if they have a business plan. And I asked them for an overriding business plan. And then if they don't have a business plan for 2016, I say, why not? What do you want to do in 2016? What are the things you want to accomplish? But I ask for those things. And I'm surprised how few have them. And if they're an upstart or a relatively small business, that's real problematic for me. I think it's problematic for them.
So after working with you and I've got my business plan completed, what am I going to see in my business plan? Tell me the major components of that.
You're going to tell me your mission and your vision and your values. You're going to tell me what products you sell, what you do, what products you sell and those prices. You're going to show me your financial plan. You're going to show me a marketing plan. And you're going to explain to me your operational aspects of your business. How do you get your job done? And that will be part of your business plan.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've mentioned a mission and a vision statement.
Yep.
What's the difference between those two?
A mission is what you do. A vision is where you want to be. And can I share a story?
You bet.
I have an organization I really admire here in this area. It's called Goodwill Industries. And I decided I wanted to learn more about Goodwill Industries, so I sent a letter to their CEO, who, by the way, comes under some fire in the marketplace. Goodwill Industries in the Northwest is the most successful retailer around. And he invited me to come and visit him, and I spent the day with the CEO. And the first thing he did, he took me into his office, and he looked at the wall, and he said, "This is our mission, and this is our vision." And no matter what question I asked him, he answered with this: "Let's see how that applies to our mission and our vision." And when I did the tour, he said, "We do this way, and we do it because our mission is this." And I was impressed by that. And I worked for a company that didn't have that until we were sold to someone and had to think about that. And we did our mission and vision statement, and it really aligned with what we did, and it changed some of our functions because we understood what we were there for.
Mm-hmm. And then so, yeah, that's great stuff. Mm-hmm. And so you developed this business plan. You defined what that mission and visionary statement is. How do you work with the rest of the organization in conveying to the employees,
mm-hmm.
for one?
Mm-hmm.
Customers and vendors, what that company mission and vision statement is?
Probably through some series of meetings. I like to interact with their employees with their permission, and I interact with them pretty actively. I am more guarded with their vendors and more guarded with their customers. But I want them all to understand what the mission and vision is, and that means that I need to get management, the owner or the CEO, needs to get his team on board. And so we'll do that first, and then we'll start with the departments and the employees so mm-hmm. they understand what we do for a living here and why we do it.
Yeah. And you get that visionary mission statement incorporated in, say, their employee
manual on the desk, that sort of thing. But the leadership has to buy off on it. They always have to say, how does that help us do this?
Mm-hmm.
How does that accomplish this goal? Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't help accomplish that goal, why are we doing it?
Right, right.
Why are we doing that in the first place? I'm reminded of a story of John Kennedy when they were setting up the Cape Canaveral. He went down and toured, and he was walking down a hall, and the story is that there was a janitor there. And he was watching him come, and he stood aside in the hall, and John Kennedy went up to him, and he says, "What do you do here?" He says, "I'm putting a man on the moon, sir."
Yes.
And that's the kind of thinking that you want to see in any place. This is what we do here.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you get an opportunity to interact then with probably the whole staff? Quite often, yeah.
I'll visit everybody. Yeah. I have clients that I'll go in, and if they hire someone new, they'll introduce me right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, I know you well enough to know your personality. Have mm-hmm. you ever walked away from a client because you just couldn't get them to move down the road on
Yeah, I have.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, I have.
Yeah. How often when you're working with a company, how often are you in there? I know that probably initially you're in there more than not, but owners need time to think and then implement some of the things you talk about when you meet with them, say today.
Right.
So, often would you come back?
I am pretty active with clients. You'll hear me or you'll hear or see me or hear from me one day a week at least.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, once I get the scope of things, I can tell you what I can or can't do. I told you I had one client offshore that I told him I'd need 3 days a week the first couple of months with you.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll work on this 3 days a week.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you're how in the general operation of a company? I know you've worked with manufacturers.
Yes.
You're familiar with their processes, or what do you do personally to learn about what they're doing inside there?
Most of the time, I hang out. Honestly, most of the time, I hang out. I go visit different departments, and this is with the blessing of the owners, of the CEO, or the management. They say, Bruce is going to come. Tell him what you do. Mm-hmm. Let him help you do it. Yeah, that's what I do. I've worked in candy kitchens. I've worked in, you know, hot plants. I've done a variety of different things.
Yeah. So what? How do you help your clients measure their success in how they're doing? You know, you've come in and drawn a baseline when you've engaged with
mm-hmm.
them. But what measurement tools do you have for the client? And I want to ask you what tools you have for yourself to know that you're doing okay as well.
Sure. Generally with clients, I'll do a couple of different things. One, first thing I'll look at is their finances. If we're supposed to streamline our operations, your costs should go down. If your margin should go up, your sales should go up. So those are pretty basic measurements. I really believe in operating your business through your financial statement and to review it regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be able to isolate where those costs are going. So I'll help them do some of that. But the books have to be in order. I just finished a client that their books were a disaster, and I says, you need a CFO,
mm-hmm.
and you need it right away. The other thing I do is once I assess the operation and the processes, I usually break them down in categories, and I put them on a timeline, like a checkoff sheet. And quite often we'll meet on those, maybe on the phone every Friday or something, say, how are we doing with this? Where are we here? Where are we here? Where are we here? We accomplish this. It's kind of a drag, to be honest with you, but it's real meat and potato stuff to move them ahead.
Yeah.
So it'll be checklists. Yeah.
Do you have to get terse every once in a while with somebody? Say, hey, if we're going to do this.
No, my answer is always the same thing. It's you pay me to tell you the truth. Here's the truth. That's what I do. I just say, because they have to hear that. Yeah. You're paying me X number of dollars an hour. You want to hear what I have to say.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I can go home.
Yeah, listen up.
Yeah, exactly. And most of them are pretty good at it. They are. Yeah. I get some, though, that don't want to hear it. You know, I don't know if they want to hear that.
Yeah. Do you make me, if I was your client, would you make me sign some sort of agreement of commitment that I'm going to do certain things?
Very rarely. What I do is I always sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And I insist on doing that. It gives them a level of comfort, and it helps keep me focused. The other thing I do is I'll often give them a proposal and then a contract. I rarely do a contract. I often do a proposal. And it said, this is what we'll accomplish. This is the timeline we'll accomplish it in. There may be variables, I tell them, but this should be your outcome when we're done.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about how long it'll take. And then finally I say, this is what it'll cost you, so they know.
Yeah. How often do you get involved with helping the owner build culture within his business?
You know, I find it's a very fundamental element, yeah, to understand their own culture and then to build on that culture. Some of them have great cultures already. They just do.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just help them make sure they spread that to a new operation or something like that. The ones that have a good vision of themselves and understand their mission generally have a culture that follows suit.
Yeah, I'm really a proponent of a company having meaningful, engaged employees working for
mm-hmm.
it. Because the premise I have is that happy, fulfilled employees benefit two people, not only themselves, because they're going to come to work looking forward
sure.
to doing what they want to do, and then the company owner, management's going to have people working for them that are going to be productive, and they're going to be engaged.
Yeah.
What do you do in that arena?
Well, I can tell you what I've done for myself. I operate under the theory that you didn't come here to not do a good job. So I'm always going to give you that benefit to start out with. But I educate them, and I used to have a saying, I will inspect what I expect.
Mm-hmm.
So at any given time, I'm going to expect what I expect. The other thing is you demonstrate your concern for the business and your concern for the client and the customer, and let them know how important it is, and they'll usually follow suit. And then if they don't follow suit or you can't get engagement, there's always the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you're in the wrong line of work.
Yeah.
I had one with a client. They had an internal dispute, an interdepartment dispute. There were two people vying for leadership. They couldn't get along. And so the president actually called me and he says, I don't know what to do here. What would you do? And I said, well, I would fire one of them. And he said, really? He said, one of them's been here 28 years and the other one's been here 26 years. I says, listen, you know, you may have to fire one. That's the bitter pill.
Mm-hmm.
They either have to figure this out or one of them has to go.
Yeah, sometimes life's not easy.
No, it's not. You know, it's hard to manage a large operation of any kind, even the ones with the mm-hmm. highest values, without not letting a little blood out once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, it's been delightful to have you here today, Bruce. I'm getting a sign we're running out of time
okay.
here. But if I wanted to find you on the web, where would I find you?
VarneyConsulting.com.
All right, very good. And you can also find him on ClauserOnBusiness.com, and you can find us there as well. Please send us your questions and your comments. Really appreciate them. People like Bruce, they've got a lot more information and their wealth of knowledge and experience. We'll have Bruce back if you need to hear more from him or you've got a question for him, let me know. That's all for now. You're listening to Clauser on Business.